You said that's the wrong one?
Yes, sir. Let's play Mirror.
Almost, y'all.
That's all right, bro. Ain't worried about it. You're in charge. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, he will. I know the Lord will make a way.
Give me one more piece of that song you just sang.
And was in Parkinson. That girl can talk. She up and I
been shoes on my feet, food in my mouth, a roof over our heads, water when we've been thirsty. And then, Lord, more than all of that, you came in the person of Jesus Christ and made healing available to everyone who would accept it from the worst disease there is, that is sin. So, Lord, we thank you for it. So now, as we look into your word, touch our minds and give us a great understanding. Then touch our hearts and enable us to receive your word and strengthen us in every area of life so we can take what we learn and make application of it in our way to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 6 in Philippians 4 says, be careful for nothing. Verse 6 references the cares of life. The word careful means not to be anxious or worried. That word reminds us that the cares of life can make Thanksgiving difficult. And some people will look at it that way. But let me say to you, we all go through difficult times. The child of God is not exempt from difficulties, from pain, from sickness, from trouble. We're not exempt. About 3 years ago, I had trouble. And when I got to be ready to get up from the table, I couldn't do it on my own. I said to my wife, I got to have some help. And she helped me to get in the house. And for the following month, I was in a wheelchair. And the fact of it was, I had to have assistance getting to the bathroom, taking my bag, and even getting on my clothes. I needed some help. If anybody was down, at that time I was down. But I learned then, that's the first thing I'll tell you tonight, that Thanksgiving comes when we look up. That's when it comes. John 16, 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I will overcome the world. And since we as Christians are in Christ, we will overcome the world too. Ecclesiastes 2, 23 says, for all his days of sorrow, and his travail of grief. Yes, his heart takes not rest in the night. This also is vanity. He said that all of that is emptiness. When we take time to stop in our struggles, and we need to make sure we do that, and look up to God for assistance, we will discover that we have many reasons for Thanksgiving. No matter what the situation is, when we look up, we will discover some things. We will discover that God's at work in our pain. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That phrase according to his purpose means those who are fitting into his plan. So God is at work in our pain. No matter what happens to me, I got to look to God because, you know, one way or another, it's going to work out for my good. One way or another, I'll be able to just go to God and ask him, and he'll help me out. The other thing is, you learn that God is ever present in our pain. Hebrews 13, 5, it says, let your conversation, the word conversation is lifestyle. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. A lot of us are not content with what we got. We always want a little bit more. Be content with such things as you have, says the word of God. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He mentions covetousness. Covetousness is much like gluttony. You don't have to acquire other things. In fact, you don't have to acquire anything at all to be covetous. righteousness is an attitude. It is wanting to acquire more things. It is longing for more things. It is all of those things. It's setting our thoughts and our attention on more things, whether we ever possess them or not. It is said that John D. Rockefeller, as a young man, was asked by a friend of his, "So how much money do you want?" He said, $1 million. Some years later, he had earned his first million. They asked him again, "How much more money do you want?" He said, "I want another million." The answer was another million, because covetousness and greed follow a principle of increasing in desire and decreasing in satisfaction. We'll have something and we'll want something else because we're not satisfied with that thing we just got. Even in our homes, buy the house, I don't care how many square feet it is. In a little while, you want to make some changes. Covetousness is that greed principle, and it's one that follows a law of diminishing returns. Ecclesiastes 5:10 talks about it. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. If you read the King James Version, say so. If you love it, you won't be satisfied with it. And if you have abundance with income, you're not satisfied with that either, because that's still empty in some way. The more you get, the more you want. When we focus on material things, our habit will never catch up with our wanting. God says, don't be like that. See, so when Thanksgiving comes, we need to make sure that we can always thank God. Thank God when you look up. Look at all the things he's done for you. Because God is our refuge and our strength and very present in trouble. The other thing is, God will provide for us in our pain, both materially and spiritually. Matthew 6:25-34, the phrase comes several times in the passage. It says, take no thought. In the King James Version, the take no thought means don't you worry. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Worry about what, Jesus? About what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about all of the water that you need to drink. Why? Because look at this. The birds don't worry about what they're going to eat. They don't worry. They don't need to sow seed. They don't reap. They don't have to store food. Why? Because God feeds them. God feeds them. And you're worth much more than a bird. So if God feeds birds, won't he feed you? Amen. Don't worry about your clothes. We worry about clothes now. Right. I wonder what I'm going to look at when I go out. I wonder what Foucault said about what I have on. Well, you see, you know what? The scripture tells us, dress in modest apparel. Right. That's what you do. Dress modestly. That's where folks don't forget today, even in the church. We need to talk about that sometime. We're going to go on. God cares about what you're going to wear. The scripture tells us God clothes the lilies of the field, which are here today and gone tomorrow. And all of those lilies are much more beautiful than Solomon and all his glory. And since God so wonderfully cares for them, won't he much more care for you? Amen. I heard it say twice today, God will take care. I don't have to worry about that. God's going to take care. So don't worry about having enough food, enough clothes. Your heavenly Father already knows you need those things. But what does he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You wake up in the morning, Lord, thank you. only God who makes it all work out. The scripture tells us that we need to be more thankful. God is interested in our pain, and he invites us to bring our concerns to him in prayer. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmity, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, back in the old days, the high priest was the one, even his clothes was fixed up so that to let the people know, I represent God for you. I go to God for you. You can't go into the holy place. You can't go into what's called the holy of holies, but I'm going to go in there for you on the day of atonement. I'll take care of that for you. But you see, Jesus died. And when Jesus died, guess what? The curtain in the temple was torn in the room. So all of us can go to God in prayer, whatever we need. And God is so, he's concerned about everything in our life. Nothing is so big that he can't handle. And nothing is so small that he's unconcerned. Our modern Thanksgiving observances grew out of the experiences of the early pilgrims when they came to America. And I don't know if they ever even saw this text, but verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. We are a need. God's mercy. We need mercy because we mess up sometimes. I thank God that he doesn't reward us according to our works. Because we all sin. And the wages of sin has never changed. The wages of sin is death. Somebody might think that they don't do much sin. They don't sin at all. But I'm telling you something. The scripture says transgression of the law is sin. And if you don't know everything that God said to do or not to do from Genesis to Revelation, and if you walk across that line, you see, and that's enough to send your soul away. But Jesus came and lived the perfect life for you and for me, and stayed here afterward, rising up from the grave, lived around here for 40 days, teaching his disciples, and then he ascended back to heaven. And he's there on the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me. We thank God for what he has done for us. Thanksgiving not only comes when you look up. Thanksgiving comes when you look around. Verse 6 suggests that we have a life that is in a close, fully dependent relationship with God. That's the kind of life that you need to live. When we take the time to stop and look at all of the blessings that we enjoy because of our relationship with the Lord, it is easy to see why we should be a thankful people. We need to stop and take the spiritual inventory of the blessings we enjoy from the Lord. You remember the red brother? David cataloged these things in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I'm not going to just casually bless God. I don't thank God for just what he does for me. I thank him for who he is. I thank him because he is all powerful. I thank him because he's all knowing. I thank him because he's everywhere present. I thank him because he never changes. I thank him because he provides for me. I thank him because he said, if I do right and do the best I can to serve him, he'll even look out for my children. I thank God for that. When we look at Psalm 103, one of the blessings we find in verses 3, 8, and verse 3 and then 8 to 12 is forgiveness. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Verse 8, and slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. God, he does get angry. People talk about his love, but don't you think that he don't get angry? And don't you think that believe this, God will, his patience with you will wear out if you won't turn around. Then he goes on here. hath not dealt with us after our sin. Y'all don't know that you buy. Y'all be thankful that God has not dealt with us after our sin. If he had, I'd have been dead in my grave. Right, not only that, out of my soul, I would have opened my eyes and dead. But God made way for me. Nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God is merciful. God is kind. God is good to us. Verse 3 says, he gives us spiritual health. He is forgiven all our iniquities and healed all our diseases. In verse 4, we find redemption and other blessings. He redeems our life from destruction, crowns us with loving kindness. Thank God for the things he does. Verse 5, he gives us satisfaction, and he gives us strength, who satisfied thy mouth with good things. Let me know, because I'm going home and check. Thank God for that. Not only that, he gives us strength, he says, so that thy youth is renewed by me.
I got you.
Isn't that all right? Okay. Oh, I need you to do something. God is my refuge, and God is my strength. God is the joy of my salvation. Let me look at that. The other thing here, he gives us his word. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The scripture says that God never changes. Everybody else changed. Everything else changed. But you know what? You go to God. No, God's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's God. And thank God for who he is. Then we have this infinite mercy in verse 8 and 17. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto his children's children. You notice that? If I fear him, his righteousness goes from me, from him to me, and now to my children and my grandchildren. Isn't that all right? We got some grandchildren, not some children out there, and they're living according to the word of God. But they got parents, that's all they need. Parents whose knees get black, knees get sore sometimes. And they lean out up and look up to God and say, Father, I stretch my hands at me. That son of mine is about to drive me crazy. My daughter is about to make me have a heart attack. I don't know what to do. I can't handle it, but you can. God can handle it. God can handle it. God, our family relationship with God, verse 13, he says, like as a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitied them to fear. Thank God that he has pity on me. I mess up sometimes, but God has pity on me. You know what? Verse 14 talks about it. He's patient. For he knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust. If the water hit me, ain't gonna be nothing but a piece of mud. God knows what it's like, and he knows who I am. Just think about all that we have in him. His love, mercy, and grace, salvation and forgiveness, his word, a church family. The privilege of prayer, thanksgiving as an element of expectation to prayer. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, what? It's impossible to please him. Because he who cometh to God must believe that he is and that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Keep on keeping on. Somebody said, well, if you ask more than one time, that shows a lack of faith. That's a lie. Don't you believe it? Because if you read Matthew 26, you'll find that Jesus went to the garden and he prayed three times, saying the same thing. So if Jesus did it, I did. Now stop the thing of how the Lord has blessed you financially, physically, spiritually, with family and friends, with the home in heaven, by answering prayer, by moving mountains, meeting your needs, comforting your heart, offering unconditional love and forgiveness. When we take the time to look around at all of the blessings that we enjoy, we know that we have more than ample reason to thank the Lord. And finally, Thanksgiving comes not only when we look up, not only when we look around, but also Thanksgiving comes when we look ahead.
Amen.
It comes when we look ahead. Verse 6 mentions anxiety and worry. Anxiety and worry flourish anytime that there's doubt and fear. And you know what? The area of life is most often consumed with doubt is the future. Because you know what? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next minute. We just know that tomorrow will bring things that we might not know how to happen. Doubt cringes and powers and fear over disappointments, losses, and troubles that tomorrow may hold. But you know what? Faith welcomes the future with grateful optimism. Faith looks at the future with confidence because faith knows who controls tomorrow. And no matter what happens tomorrow, faith knows that's going to work together for our good. Whatever problem I come into on this side, I may have a struggle as I'm going through it, but I know the Lord is with me. But on the other side, I'm going to come out a much better man. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things, those of long ago. This is God speaking. He says, I am God, and there's no other. He repeats it, I am God, and there's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times. I make known what is still to come. And I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do what I please. That's God. And nobody can say to him, stay your hand. Faith knows who leads us safely through day by day by day. Psalm 37, 23 said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So you know what? Look ahead. It's all right. Faith is thankful when it faces the future because faith does not fret about tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who got me in his hand. I know the Lord says, you know, nothing can snatch me out of his hand. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor power. Nothing can snatch me out of the Lord's hand. So when our eyes are on the Lord, you can face the future with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the key to lasting peace. When you look up, you will find abundant reasons to be thankful. When you look around, even more reasons for thanksgiving and praise. And when you look ahead, with thanksgiving, you can know who holds tomorrow. And you know that God will take care. And God is going to do whatever is best for you. We don't know what's best for you. So let us continue day by day to thank God no matter what the situation is. Amen?
Amen.
Father, heaven, once again.